What's up? This movie's on up. I'm Dave.
I'm Ryan.
It's another mini episode to celebrate our 1 year. This one, we're going back to episode 13 from July 30th, 2012.
Number 13.
Yeah, this is one of my favorite ones we did just because it's such a fun topic to talk about and everybody has an opinion on remakes. This came out about the time the Total Recall remake was coming out. We each listed our five favorite remakes. And we wasted it. We should have done it as two separate episodes. We also listed remakes that we want to see. Movies that, you know, for whatever reason, we think a remake could justify. So
we were young and full of content at that point, and we're just slinging content around like it was going out of style.
Yeah, it was fun, though. I like this one. I remember some of mine. This is another, I haven't listened to any of these, so I could probably list a couple, but I'm going into it blind. I haven't listened to it.
Sometimes that's more fun. It may surprise you. I mean, a couple of really? That's okay.
So, I mean,
fine.
That goes for any listeners that did listen to this episode.
They're my damn list, and I don't remember them.
I don't remember them. So, you might get to something new out of it, too.
I'm sure.
Maybe you've seen one. Maybe we mentioned a movie that you hadn't seen, and, you know, now you've seen it.
And you have a giant back tattoo because of it.
Yeah, and you have an opinion on it. So, this, like I said, from September 30th, 2012. July 30th.
For those of you that aren't number inclined.
This from July 30th, 2012.
From last year.
Episode 13, our favorite remakes and remakes we want to see.
I guess we kind of remade this episode, didn't we?
A little bit.
When she's done remaking Carrie, Kimberly Pierce will move on to remake the 2000 French movie With a Friend Like Harry with the script by... apparently, we just figured out the Prison Break guy, Wentworth Miller.
Well, the thing is I read this news and I saw Wentworth Miller and I thought, isn't that...
what the fuck is a Wentworth Miller?
I thought, isn't that the guy from Prison Break? And then I looked it up. That's the guy from Prison Break. And he's, like, writing now. And he's writing... he wrote Stroker, which I think comes out in January. It's Nicole Kidman, Mia Wasikowska, like, sci-fi action movie directed by, I think, Chan-Woo Park. I could be off on that. I think it's him. But, so it's like... he looks like somebody that would be named Wentworth Miller, but apparently he can write. But Kimberly Pierce, I'd like to see her get back into it and not take five years between movies.
See her do something that's not a remake?
She's had a decent career so far.
I was just trying to segue into our remakes.
I know, and I was killing that.
Yeah, you're pretty good at that. Not that I have good transitions to begin with, but if I did, I'd be really upset with you. I think did we tease this at all?
Like, no, we should have. I just thought about, like, oh, we should have teased what we're talking about.
Yeah, well, we didn't, so consider this your tease. We had kind of decided that with we just talked about a couple of remakes and then Total Recall coming out this week, that now would be a good time to give you our top five remakes of all time. And David actually asked me before, and I just want to do this right at the start. Remake versus reboot. I tend to think that argument in itself is just semantical. I think they're both kind of the same thing.
Yeah, but here's my thing is, like, I didn't include reboots in mine because, say, we're going to start off with best remakes, like our favorite remakes ever. If you want to do that, the Punisher, the Thomas Jane Punisher movie would be up there high for me. Because if you want to consider it, it could be a remake of the Dolph Lundgren one from the 80s.
Yeah, that's true.
But it wasn't really remaking that Punisher movie. It was just relaunching the Punisher franchise. So it was a reboot. Like, Batman Begins wasn't a remake
of... if there's multiple versions of something, then you consider it a reboot?
Or if it's intended to be a franchise. Like, Batman Begins wasn't a remake of Tim Burton's 1989 Batman. Okay. It was rebooting the franchise. That's where I go with it. If it's a franchise, if you're starting a franchise over again.
Okay.
Because we're also going to do top five movies we want remade.
Yeah.
I was going to put Tomb Raider, but then I thought, no, that's a reboot. Like, I don't care if I don't want them to remake them. I want them to reboot that character. So that's the difference between that. It's pretty much if you want it to be a franchise.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's a difference for you. I don't use the terms interchangeably. I don't use the term reboot a lot. But I guess that's where we're coming from. Dave kind of gave you his rationale behind remakes and reboots, but
so on our best, we're gonna do our top five favorite remakes.
Yeah,
did you have any criteria on yours?
You know what? My criteria was, by and large, the original movies I haven't seen. I take that back. Only one of the originals I haven't seen. But I like all these remakes. I think they're good. I think they're really good movies. I do happen to think that they're all better than the originals. Actually, yeah, one of them sucks. But
because did you exclude anything?
I asked you to exclude something, but I really didn't.
I meant, did you like, I didn't do foreign. I didn't do...
No, there's... Well, there's...
Like, I didn't do The Departed. Like, I didn't do an American remake of a foreign movie.
I didn't do The Departed. It's on my, like, also-ran list.
Yeah.
I like The Departed, but I thought it was very, very similar to the Korean version.
Yeah.
And they're just, I don't know, movies that I liked better.
So I excluded foreign. I excluded reboots. And I didn't do based on a book, where it's like True Grit.
Yeah.
It was kind of a remake of the, but it was more a remake of the book.
Yeah, there were some things.
Because it was on my list, but then I thought, no, they were just making a different version of the book.
True Grit was on my also-ran list.
Was it? Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't care about books, because there's one of them, number
two. I mean, I'm just throwing out what I,
off a book?
My criteria. Yeah, okay. So if you have questions about it, like.
That's why.
Yeah.
Okay.
But why don't you start first?
All right. My number five is a remake, and we're going to start off with a remake of the movie that I haven't seen. A 1997 Norwegian flick directed by young Christopher Nolan, starring Al Pacino, Hilary Swank, Robin Williams, Insomnia.
See, I didn't really like Insomnia.
I liked it a lot.
But to be fair...
Robin Williams was great.
To be fair, that was when I was watching Memento like twice a week, and I was watching Following like once a month. Like, I was huge into those two movies, and then he gets this major studio, and I went and saw it opening day. It just didn't hit me. I don't think I ever gave it another chance.
That might have been my introduction to Christopher Nolan, actually. I do remember seeing it in the theater, and I thought, boy, this is kind of a neat movie.
See, I only saw it that one time in theater, and it wasn't Memento. It wasn't Following.
No, definitely not.
So
it's a linear story.
I might need to check it out again. Like, I only remember some of it, but... I mean, there were cool parts of it. I wasn't too into it. I need to revisit it, though.
I think it's worth it, totally. Obviously, I put in my top five remakes.
My number five, a bit weird for me, 310 to Yuma from 2007, remake of the 1957 movie.
Yeah, it's a good flick.
I hate Westerns. I really do hate Westerns. But these modern takes on Westerns, mm-hmm. I'm kind of for. Like this, 310 to Yuma, I thought was good.
And then Australia, The Proposition was fantastic.
Yeah. Not really a traditional Western, but it feels like a Western. And then Assassination of Jesse James, I thought was fantastic.
Yeah,
it's slow, it's boring, but
it really
I thought it was amazing. So 310 to Yuma is my number five.
All right, number four for me is a remake of a 1932 film called Scarface. It's 1983's Scarface. Brian De Palma, Al Pacino, Stephen Bauer, Michelle Pfeiffer. If there was no Scarface, there'd be a bunch of folks probably between, I don't know, 18 and 35 that have nothing to talk about, nothing to rap about.
And rappers wouldn't have a favorite
movie. We'd have no hip-hop genre.
Yeah.
Good movie, though.
Yeah, I don't have a lot to say about Scarface. I saw it when I was young.
Yeah, I'm sure everybody's probably seen it.
I saw it when I was, like, young, and haven't watched it in my adult life.
Yeah.
So... Because I was four when that came out. I think I saw it when I was about nine. So I haven't went back and revisited it.
I've seen it as an adult. I've seen both movies as an adult. I liked the 1932 version a lot, actually. Has nothing to do with cocaine. But the thing that I liked about the movie was kind of the story arc of the character. They adapted to fit the 80s and coke. So I thought that was neat.
My number four is a rough one because the original was really, really good. And the original was driven by an amazing performance. The remake, really, really good, driven by an amazing performance. That is 1991's Cape Fear.
Oh, yeah.
A remake of the 1962 movie.
Mm-hmm.
Both Robert De Niro and his name's totally escaping me.
Yeah, me too. And I'd look it up, but I don't have the password to your router.
Yeah, we're in the office. It doesn't get reception anyway. But it's just an awesome movie. And the remake... Juliette Lewis pretty much stole that movie. Like, she almost outshined De Niro in this quintessential, like, De Niro role. Like, that
crazy
role
ass.
Was made for De Niro. Yeah. And she was... she gets a lot of crap now, but when she was younger, she had an awesome career. And I think that's an awesome movie. Like, both versions.
Yeah, no, I agree.
I would watch either one of them anytime. Yeah.
Number three, for me, a remake of the 1958 movie of the same name. It is 1986's The Fly, directed by David Cronenberg with Jeff Goldblum, Gina Davis. Relatively certain that Vincent Price was not the star of the original one, but I think he shows up at the end. And it's not very good. I mean, it's your B sci-fi movie, but Cronenberg just went nuts with it. So good.
And I still think that's more highly regarded than it should be, I think. The Fly.
Because of the special effects, or?
Something. I don't think it's as good as it's made out to be. It's a good movie, but I don't think it's an all-time great, which is how a lot of people talk about it is.
It might not be one of my all-time, favorite movies.
It's definitely a good remake.
In terms of remakes, yeah.
For this conversation, it's fantastic. Yeah. I think overall, it's a little too highly regarded, but
it's not my favorite Cronenberg movie.
Still a cool movie. Yeah. My number three, Man on Fire from 2004, Denzel Washington joint, was a remake of a 1987 film starring Scott Glenn. It was pretty much the same movie, except the original took place in Italy, and 2004 was Mexico. And I think in the original, the kid that got kidnapped ran track or something. And in the remake, Dakota Fanning swam. So that's Man on Fire. That's an awesome movie. That's a Tony Scott, Denzel Washington collaboration.
Yeah, those two are
pretty
solid. Also pretty solid was the 1941 remake of a pretty shitty movie by the same name. And actually, there was the original version in 31, and then I believe there was a sequel that came out in 36. They both sucked. But when John Huston got a hold of The Maltese Falcon, he did a pretty good job of it. It's Humphrey Bogart and Mary Astor, one of the quintessential film noirs of all time.
Yeah,
check it out.
That's a reach back. That one makes sense, but that's pulling from the depths there.
That one is one of my top 10 of all time. I love me some Maltese Falcon. The first movie is very similar. It's just shittier in every possible way.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you don't have Humphrey Bogart.
No, you didn't.
Yeah.
So don't bother with the 31. Go straight to 41.
My number two is kind of a weird remake. It's a director remaking his own made-for-TV movie. The movie being remade, 1989's L.A. Takedown, which was remade in 1995 by Michael Mann as Heat.
I liked Heat. I don't think I ever saw the made-for-TV version.
I didn't either. I don't have to.
Yeah, good
Heat
point.
Heat is the crime movie. I put that up there. That is the crime movie to me. That is everything. I love crime movies. I absolutely love them. Heat has everything I love about them.
Yeah. Great shootouts, chases.
Natalie Portman cutting herself in the tub.
That happens.
It's just such a good... De Niro's character is so good.
And this is when Val Kilmer was, not a joke.
Yeah. This one, Val Kilmer. Again.
And Sizemore?
Sizemore was in it.
Yeah, before he was a joke.
Yeah.
I mean,
no, this cast was awesome. Yeah. It just keeps going. And Michael Mann, it's Mike... I'm not a huge Michael Mann fanboy, but when Michael Mann's on, he's really, really on. In this movie... I love Heat so much. Movie's so good.
I'll give you that one. That's
pretty
solid.
Before you go on to your number one.
Yeah. Do you want to do your number one?
No. Okay. Well, we shared a number one.
You
asked me not to put it my number one.
You did it anyway.
I can't put anything
else. I asked you not to put it on the list, and you made it your number one.
Because it was already my number one. When you talk remakes, this movie cannot be your number one. So I'll let you talk
about it. It cannot not be your number one? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I'll let you talk about it, but... We're on the same. I couldn't just leave it off my list completely when it's my favorite.
You could have put a caveat saying that, well, I had something else, but Ryan was being a bitch.
So what's our number one?
Our number one is a remake of 1951's The Thing from Another World. It's John Carpenter's 1982 The Thing. It is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Same here.
It is my favorite John Carpenter movie, so I guess I would say it's probably my favorite horror movie. But I mean to this day, the practical special effects, they hold up. The special effects that he did in 1982 look much better than the special effects that were done
in the remake in 2011.
Well, it's not really a remake.
It's
a prequel.
It's a remake.
No, that's not
true. You don't name a prequel the exact same thing. They tried to pass it off as a prequel.
Well, what else were you going to call it?
It's a remake.
It's
passing it off as a prequel.
It's a prequel.
It's a goddamn remake. But anyway,
it's
so
not
is
good,
the original.
Way.
No, it's all... And Joel Edgerton, that's when he was just in a string of making bad movies.
Yeah.
But it's a fucking remake. I don't care what you call it. it's just such a good movie. It's top 10 yeah. or 15 ever for me.
It's really good.
Like, it's everything. Like, I talked about Heat being, like, the crime movie. Like, yeah. the perfect crime. This is does it for horror.
Yeah.
Like, this has everything a horror movie should have. Like, this is more frightening than... As much as I love, like, the Nightmare and the Friday the 13th movies...
Yeah,
this,
when
this
you
is,
see Jason and when you see Freddy, you know they're the bad guy.
This
the thing
is
that was
legit
so great about
scary.
The thing was you didn't know it until was, yeah. his face ate you. And then it was too late.
Unrelated, the video game for this...
Yeah.
When Xbox first came out...
Yeah.
...was insane.
I had that game pre-ordered.
It's the hardest video game I've ever played in my life.
Yeah.
Like, it's so amazing just because the story is so cool.
Yep.
And if you watch the remake, it's so hard not to get frustrated because you took this awesome, awesome thing and just...
Yeah. Made a shitty version of it.
You didn't just not add anything. Like, you took all the good stuff away from it.
Kind of.
The scene in the fucking... With the Petri dish and the yeah. lighter, that's a top five movie scene ever for me. That scene is fucking brilliant. Keith David, David Keith, the black
Keith
one.
Keith David.
Amazing in that movie. Especially that movie is awesome.
Yeah, and I mean, Kurt Russell was awesome too. And I think like, there maybe it's just because I love this movie, but there's so many like the transformation scenes, every one of them, the scene with the AED, with the paddles.
And
like
done in 82.
Exactly. And they look so good. They scared the shit out of you. They scare the shit
they
out of you now.
Still do.
But
like, they still look... The fucking spider thing walking across... Oh
the
my
head spider.
God.
Yeah.
Jesus. That's why I had to put this number one, because...
Yeah, fair enough.
I'm fucking passionate about this movie, because this movie is fucking great.
Awesome movie. Awesome yeah. movie. I hope you've all seen it. If you haven't, you know, fuck it. This is the only time I'll ever say stop listening to our podcast. Stop listening to our podcast and watch the thing.
Just see it. It's so good.
Watch it a couple times because it is that damn good.
If you get a chance, sometimes there'll be cult showings on a big screen. If you can see this movie on a big screen, do it.
Yeah.
This movie's so good.
Totally worth it. Do you have any that almost made the list but not quite?
No, I think I cut them all out when I decided not to do Foreign. And I think Ransom is the only one that... almost made it.
The Mel Gibson joint?
Yeah,
that was a good movie. I'll just mention a couple. Magnificent Seven, I thought was great. It was a remake of The Seven Samurai. Both of those movies are real good. Casino Royale, the remake, way different than the original,
yeah.
but totally worth a watch. The Dawn of the Dead remake was probably the closest to making my list. I love both of those movies.
I enjoy watching that, but comparing it to the original is nowhere near.
It's not as good, but... I love the original, and I thought they did a good job with the remake. So, I mean, to make this list, it had a chance. Is it better than the original? No.
It's not better. It isn't. It lacked a lot of what made the original good.
Well, it didn't have any social commentary, really.
Exactly. And it was, that's,
but
it
whatever.
Was Snyder. It looked cool.
Yeah,
it was fun,
I thought it was an
all
right
movie.
There
was no depth to it, which the original had so much.
And my last one, also a remake of an 80s horror movie, Fright Night. I liked that.
It was
that.
Decent.
I liked it.
I was super stoked on that because I love the original.
Mm-hmm.
I love the cast of this
yeah.
remake. Like, the casting was perfect, but it didn't hit as much as I wanted it to. The good parts were really, really good, but they were kind of too few and far between for me. I think it was about half of a great movie and the other half mediocre.
Yeah, but that's why I left it off my list.
Yeah,
no, pretty
I mean,
solid,
David Tennant was great.
Yeah.
Anton Yelchin was good. Mm-hmm. I didn't... They kind of butchered not McLovin, Evil Ed.
Yeah.
I didn't like how they approached his character, but Colin Farrell, dude,
still
good. Got it.
Yeah.
Like, and who was the girl in? Oh, Imogen Poots.
Oh. Yeah, I could do without her, but everybody else was awesome.
It was a fun movie. Like, I'd watch it again, but I didn't enjoy it as much as the original.
All right, well, what about originals that maybe you didn't really enjoy, but you think that they could use a remake?
Actually, most of these are movies I enjoy... that could be better.
Four of these I really like.
I have a tie for number five. And it's only because when I was younger, two movies scared the shit out of me. Like, I grew up watching horror movies, so it was hard for me to, like, really get scared by horror movies. The Guardian from 1990, about the tree that ate babies.
Yeah.
And Communion from 1989.
About the Catholics that
Christopher
ate
Walken alien movie.
Yeah.
I haven't watched those in years. There's probably nothing to them, but they scared the shit out of me.
So you want them to be remade so you still won't watch them?
No, I want them to be remade so they can scare a whole new generation of kids and myself.
Fair enough. This movie I didn't think was scary. It's actually my least favorite of the five I'm about to talk about, and I'll probably get stoned for saying this, but I'm not a big fan of Brazil. Terry Gilliam's 1985 flick. Most people will give you, oh, it's one of the best sci-fi, and maybe it is, but I think that now, if you cut out about a half an hour of it and you gave it some better special effects, I think the movie could be pretty good.
That's one of my least favorite movies ever.
Yeah, I don't really care for it, but I think that there's enough there story-wise that maybe...
Possibly.
Okay, even if you want to give Terry Gilliam another crack at it, I just think the movie could be better if it were up to date a little bit. But maybe
you wouldn't want to see somebody else like a... Who's another quirky? Like an Aronofsky or somebody that's got a quirkiness to them? Like with their own vision, you wouldn't want... It would probably be the same thing over again.
I guess they could. I'm assuming that I'd get a similar kind of movie. I just think if it was more up to date, maybe it'd be a little bit better.
And more straightforward and less like...
Yeah. That movie just goes on, and you really have to stick with it the whole time. Otherwise, it devolves into you have no idea what's going on. You don't care.
My number four goes back to my liking... The current updates of country of westerns.
Yeah.
The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance was a John Wayne. Was it Humphrey or I forget who the other guy was.
Yeah.
John Wayne and another huge name. I like the story of that. I don't like all of it. Like I don't like the senator angle and everything. The flashback, but it's a cool story that I'd like to see modernized. A modern Western of, like, not modernized.
Okay, yeah, that's what I was going to ask.
A new take of the Western.
There are sometimes, like,
maybe... Like a 310 to Yuma style.
Yeah, okay. I was going to say, like, maybe for my number one movie, I would like if it would be modernized, like, set in modern times. Not that it's really not, but the next movie set way in the future. And I believe they are actually kind of planning a remake of this, and I believe that it is... It's one of the Ryans. It's... But not Reynolds. It's either Gosling... Or Phillippe. I think it's Gosling.
Is it Logan's Run?
It is Logan's Run.
Gosling.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, that's what I thought.
Him and Nicholas Winding Refn were on it.
Yeah, which would be great. I love Logan's Run.
Yeah.
Great movie. That, to me, in terms of sci-fi or just regular movie, way better than Brazil. Love it, and I would like to see it.
It's a good movie.
A newer version.
I don't know how... It's such a dumb premise.
Is it, though?
I think so. It's a harder premise to sell now.
I don't know, because they just had that...
In Time.
Timberlake,
which was
yeah.
a dumb premise. But
I didn't think it was a dumb premise.
It was... But that was at least a little different than Logan's Run, where...
Well, yeah, because you could
it
buy.
Wasn't just you're at 30 and you're dead. Like, it has to be updated. It has to be... There has to be a tweak to it, I think.
Oh, they could. I mean, I don't think the tweak is as necessary, but I just like to see the effects don't hold up now. But I think the story is kind of neat.
The story's cool.
And I would like to see a newer version of it. That's all.
Yeah. Where are we at? Number three? My number three is a 1975 Australian film based on the Australian novel Picnic at Hanging Rock.
They make Australian novels?
Yeah, it was written by an Australian novelist.
Huh.
Yeah, have you seen Picnic? I don't know how popular this movie is.
Judging by the blank look on my face, no.
It's a really cool movie. It's just about this group of girls.
Dingoes and Fosters.
From this group of girls from a school that go out with their teacher and they just disappear. And then the subsequent, like, what happens in the town. It's a really cool movie. Like, it's really weird and out there. And the book is a little more strange. And the author had a last chapter that explained what happened to the girls as they disappeared. The publisher said, like, yeah, we'll put it out, but not with that last chapter. So she put it out, and now it's this big mystery of what happened to them. And it's never really resolved. Which, the last chapter in the book, she eventually released later. Ridiculous. Like, it makes no sense. It does work so much better without it. But it's a really cool movie. It's a really cool... Even just reading the Wikipedia page. Like, it's kind of a creepy thing. Like, it's Picnic at Hanging Rock. It's really cool.
Okay. Number three for me. Maybe it's my favorite Cronenberg movie. I don't know. It'd be up there. 1983's Videodrome.
I thought you were going to go Scanners there.
I almost did. I think Scanners was 81 or 82.
Yeah, before you said 83.
Yeah.
I could see Videodrome.
I think that's another one. Like, I think the story is so neat. Like, you could modernize that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and give it some better special effects, too.
And give it to a director with a different, like, that's one of those that if you have a unique vision, it's going to
come out. I mean, Cronenberg wrote and directed that, so it was kind of his thing. But, yeah, I think that movie could do with a little new bells and whistles.
Another one that I think could do with an updated 1974's A Boy and His Dog.
Was that the one with Crockett?
Don Johnson?
Yeah.
It's just and his talking telepathic dog.
Yeah, post-apocalyptic.
It's insane. Yeah. The ending is such... I don't know if that ending would fly now.
Shit, I don't even know if I remember the ending.
Oh,
and that's sad.
God, the ending is...
Apparently, it's nuts.
The most fucking insane thing, which... Can I spoil a movie from 1974?
Well,
it's a fucking... crazy ending that's just a downer.
Here's the thing, like, I think people have had a chance to see that movie, but I don't think that maybe people
I don't
really
think people
know.
Have yeah I,
yeah so let's maybe not spoil
I'm not
it.
I'm not, because it's so, if you do go watch it, I don't want that moment spoiled, because it's fucked up. It's one of the most fucked up endings I ever.
You don't have to remind me when I shut this shit off.
Yeah,
I mean, I think
it's a fucked up ending, but it's a cool movie. You update it, give it in the hands, like, it could be brutal. Like, it's already got a violent tone.
Yeah,
to
it kind of does.
And you, like, it can be just a brutal, like, I think of Nicky Windy Rain, like, the kind of brutality he can do, like, he brings to movies. Him remaking this movie would be awesome.
Yeah, that could be neat, but I want him to do Logan's Run first. My number two, probably my second. No, I can't even say that. It's probably my third favorite John Carpenter movie. And I was reading online, apparently people don't like this movie. Maybe I'm in the minority.
Ghosts of Mars?
No. It is from 1988, starring Rowdy Roddy Piper
and
Keith
David.
It's They Live. Why do I want They Live remade? Because I'd like it to be updated. I think that kind of... And when we were talking about that movie Branded, I thought, oh, this is kind of like...
It was like an
new,
updated version.
Yeah. But something like that, I think... I think could be really, really neat if done correctly. And I mean, the special effects weren't great in that either. They were pretty shitty. But I think Piper was pretty good.
Yeah, no, that movie, I can't see that movie getting better for what it is. Like, it's perfect what it is.
Yeah, it is a really good movie. But I mean, people, most of Carpenter's movies are getting remade or have been remade at this point. And I'm just waiting on the They Live remake.
Yeah, no, that would be... I had something else to say, but I forget what it was, so I'll just move on to my...
Fair enough.
What's your number one? I want to do mine last.
Okay. My number one is a movie that I love. It's, again, it's probably a top 10. And people are like, well, why the fuck would you want to remake a top 10 movie? But I think that the crux of the story is about a guy that graduates college, and he kind of bounces around. Doesn't know what the fuck he's going to do with his life, which I think is, you know, maybe it's a little, behind the curtain for me. I did that for quite a while. But I think there's a lot of people that could probably identify with that right now. And there are maybe some things that you could add to it. Some different things that young adults might be dealing with today that they weren't necessarily dealing in 1967's The Graduate.
That's exactly what I was going to guess. The Graduate.
Yeah.
I could
love
see
that
it,
movie.
But I feel like that's been done a lot.
I think that there's probably movies that are like that, that are graduate-esque.
Yeah. Like, there hasn't been a direct Graduate remake. I think the storylines presented in there have been tackled so many times. Maybe not all at once.
Yeah.
But the May-December romance, the everything else.
Oh,
like,
yeah, definitely. But I think that, like, just for probably...
I don't think you can top Hoffman.
No, you can't. That's what I'm saying. Like, it would be such a pain in the ass to do. No, well, you'd have to recast it, and maybe somebody would have this brilliant idea where you make it a girl. I don't know.
Yeah.
I could see that.
Yeah. No, that's not bad. But I don't, that's another one. I don't know if it can get better.
Oh, I don't know that it would. I would just like to see somebody try it.
My number one, I love this movie, but could be 100% better with better effects and updated story. 1989's Deep Star 6. It's an underwater horror movie. It came out around the same time as Leviathan and The Abyss.
Yeah,
there was
okay.
all these underwater horror movies. Deep Star 6 kind of got shoved under the rug.
Got Deep Sixed?
Oh, Jesus. It's an awesome horror movie. Like, it's
I don't think I've seen it.
It's just this underwater crew that they unearth like monsters, and it's fucking brilliant. Miguel Ferrer is in it.
Yeah, that guy.
He's awesome in it. He's also in, I think he was in The Guardian too. He was in The Guardian. Yeah,
apparently he had a run late 80s.
Yeah, but it's just an awesome movie. The deaths, this is where I like British horror movies better than American ones, because in British horror movies, the deaths matter.
Oh, there's better character development.
Yes, there's better character developments, and when somebody dies, it affects the characters.
Yeah.
Whereas in American horror movies, really don't tackle.
They're fodder.
Yeah, on a whole. Like, I'm not singling them all out, but generally, British horror movies deal with death better than American ones. Deep Star 6, like, it reminds me of Sunshine, the Danny Boyle movie, where every...
When people die, that was sad.
Every death mattered. Like, every death hit you, and what's crazy is that not all the deaths were the monsters. Like, that's... And it did have some of the same elements that Sunshine had, where it's like, oh, we're not only, you know, our fear is almost as dangerous as the what we're facing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, every death was just brutal. Like, every death, the captain, his death was amazing.
Spoiler alert.
Well, everybody, it doesn't spoil anything.
Spoiler alert.
Because you don't see it coming. It's so...
Spoiler alert.
It's so brutal. Like, it's such a good movie. I don't know why people don't like it, but people don't like it. If you update it, I've already started the script, so if you have money, you can buy the rights.
Give it to Dave.
Give it to me. It can be awesome. It just needs updated.
Man, that was a good conversation.
Some of the best.
No need for a reboot there.
Nope, won't reboot, won't recap it at all.
If you have remakes that you like that we missed or remakes that you want to see that we didn't mention, hit us up. MoviesOnUp@gmail.com, MoviesOnUp.com. @MoviesOnUp on Twitter, Facebook.com/MoviesOnUp. Let us know. Everybody has an opinion on remakes, so give us your opinions. We like to hear them.
Sure do.
For our watch this week, or for this episode, we're going to suggest you watch something that's an animated film we want a live-action remake of.
Okay, so you want them to watch the animated version of it.
Until the live-action remake happens.
I see. Okay. Because I'm cheating. My live remake is kind of happening.
Is it?
Yeah. In that there's writers.
Yeah.
It's probably happening. Either way, if it's not happening, then I feel good about it because I'm not cheating. But if it is happening, well, then, you know, you'll be able to watch it. I'm not big into Japanese anime. Not really at all. And I didn't even love Akira as a manga or whatever they call it, but I think a live action version of it could be rad. I'd be much more likely to sit through it in one sitting if it was live action.
The thing is, a lot of like purists that love it don't think it can happen. I think Akira could be a live action movie. I think it could be a really good live action movie. I think the original has a lot that's not needed. That if you slim it down and you tighten up that story a little bit and just get to the beef of it, it could be a really epic, brutal movie. It could be really, really good. Another thing that'd be really good, I didn't really grow up on Disney movies. I didn't watch a lot of The Lion King or Aladdin or anything like that. But one that I did love, one of their non-musicals that's kind of overlooked. Not a lot of people talk about it. The Black Cauldron. Love this movie. Love the movie. Love the book. Love the video game. I had the old PC game for it. Absolutely love this movie. And it would absolutely work as a live action.
Yeah, it would. I mean, you could absolutely see it just very akin to The Hobbit now. And with the success of those movies, I'm a little bit surprised that this hasn't at least been bantied around. You see a bunch of, you know, a rush to go buy the rights to, you know, these newer young adult novels. I mean, this one's old. It's been around. Yeah, I don't know if Disney still has the rights for it, and that could be what's holding it up. But it's a good story, and it's...
It could be awesome.
Yeah, it would be totally awesome. Way rad. Let us know what you think. If you've got one that you think, man, I really love Toy Story, why don't they make a live-action Toy Story? Let us know.
Yeah, but again, thanks for listening to one of these mini-episodes. If you don't, listen to our regular weeks. We do a news episode early in the week, a discussion episode later in the week. So thanks for tuning into this and listening to it, and reach out to us. Until next time.
Keep it up.